Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Every time that we are gathered together in his name, every time that we are gathered together in his name, there he is also in power and in strength. So let us
continually offer the sacrifice to him, for it is good to sing praises to our God. Do you have the chorus? For you inhabit the praises of your people, so let our praise be sweet incense unto stand to your feet, Church of God, this morning, and let's welcome our pastor, the man of God, the prophet of this house, and let us sing a song every time that we are gathering together in his place. Let's start again from the top.
Every time that we are gathered together in this place, there is also in power.
Ask the Lord to speak to you. You know, this is the best part of your life. I know you work in the bank. I know you've got a lot of money. But this is the best part of your life. This is the best part of your life.
Thank you.
I want you to lift up your two hands and thank the Lord that you are here. And also ask him to speak to you. Ask him to speak to you. Ask him to speak to you.
Speak to me, Lord.
His word makes a difference in your life. His word makes a difference in your life. His word changes you. His word builds you. His word is your only hope. His word in you is the only hope of your life. Father, we thank you and we ask that your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may please be seated. And for some time now, we have been learning about how to enter into this life, this kingdom. You know, the world is made up of two kingdoms. The kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of Satan, that even the Bible, Jesus acknowledges that the God of this world is the devil. So his kingdom is there. His kingdom is what you see around. Satan's kingdom thrives on deception. So when you see all those things, you see drinking bars, you see nightclubs. I want you from now on, as you are driving around, to be on the lookout for Satan's kingdom embassies and God's kingdom embassies. I mean, like, if you drive around and you see a Methodist church down the road there, that's an embassy. It's an embassy. It's an embassy of God's kingdom on earth. The only place that, hey, you look new. Are you okay? Yo, we are here. we are here. When you were going, we're here. As you have come, we are here. We are also going to be here all the time. I was saying something before I saw something. What was I saying? If you go to the bank, you are, there's money there. And even today's offerings, when we take the offerings, we are taking it to the bank. But it's not God's embassy. It's not God's embassy. So there's a kingdom out there. There's a kingdom out there. It's called the kingdom of Satan. Where evil dwells. Then there is also a kingdom of God. A kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God is a place for your peace. Yes. A place where God, his will for you, is done. His will for your life is done. Now, that kingdom of God is not necessarily a physical place. Yeah. Ideally, if you see a Methodist church, a Presby church, a UD church, it should represent the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you that my first comment was a mistake. If you are sitting here, don't deceive yourself that you are sitting in a kingdom of God. Ideally, like what you are hearing this morning, you won't hear it in a university, a lecture room. You don't hear it in a banking hall. So this is where God's kingdom is preached. Mm-hmm. But being here, even the one who is preaching to you, is not automatically in God's kingdom. The fact that I've come to you and I've introduced myself that I am Reverend Osei doesn't mean that I am in God's kingdom. There is a way you enter. If you don't enter through that way, sitting in church with black will not help you. You can sit in church, but you are not in the kingdom of God. Some of you sitting here belong to the kingdom of Satan. He is actively working in your life. Actively. Some of you, the way he's working, we can't even see it on the outside. Some of you, the way he's working, we can't see. Like if you want this type of kaftan, we can't see. I mean, you look like a pastor, but you may be the first devil in the church service we are having this morning. I'm serious. Having a cross around my neck doesn't mean anything. The kingdom of God is not in titles and what you are wearing. But see, there's an appearance. The Bible talks about the attire of a prostitute. So an attire is an appearance. So there's a way a pastor can have the attire of a priest, but inside is a devil. Yes, it's a garment. And if you add a cross, it completes the appearance. But the kingdom of God is not in outward appearances and paraphernalia and all these things. The kingdom of God is a specific spiritual world. You can be working in the bank, but you are in the kingdom of God. If you see a church building, it represents the kingdom of God. But not everybody in that church building belongs to the kingdom of God. Some of you have turned your little bedroom, you've turned it into a kingdom of Satan. Small room you are sleeping in. Because that's where you watch your pornography. That's why the girls come. That's where the things are happening. The cigarette you are smoking is under your pillow. The Indian hemp is in a little box under your bed. So your little room, you are living in a nice place at a friend is a Ajringano. But that room is a kingdom. Satan is there. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of Satan is a place. It is a spiritual place. And the kingdom of God is also a spiritual place. Yes. This should represent the kingdom of God. It should represent the kingdom of God. But being here doesn't mean you are in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So, how many of you want to be in the kingdom of Satan? Oh, you raise your hand. Oh, I'm asking again. How many of you want to be in the kingdom of Satan? To steal, to kill, to destroy. Okay. Then, how many of you want to be in the kingdom of Satan? How many of you want to be in the kingdom of God? To be in the kingdom of God, you have to enter it. You have to enter. Turn your Bibles. Let me show you. That's scripture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 9. Is our Bible girl there? Okay. Verse 9. Watch it. Are you watching?
Yes.
We start church early and we close early. So once I start, it means that I'm about to end. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. What manner of entering. The Bible notices a manner is a way.
Okay.
How you enter the manner. Everybody say the manner of entering.
The manner of entering.
How many of you want to be in the kingdom of God? Okay. So how you enter to be in something, you must enter it.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. Nobody is born in a university. Nobody is born in a hospital. Nobody is born in a military academy. You enter the university. You enter the military academy. So the manner, how you enter, how you enter, how you enter. We are all human beings. We are born in sin. But after being born, your choices, how you live your life, now takes you into the devil's world proper. Yes. If you do nothing, you are in it. Because where you were born, the hospital you were born, is all part of his arrangement. It's complex. Those of you who feel that. You know, I was talking to a girl. She was trying to travel abroad. I don't want to tell the complete story. But among the things she talked to me about was that the documents she has the documents and the papers to travel. She's qualified, married with a child, everything. And part of the documents I asked her earlier. I said, "What university did you attend?" She said, "Oh, I didn't enter university. I didn't go to a university. I just did SHS. I didn't even finish SHS, I think. Oh, she finished. But she didn't enter a university." I said, "Oh, dear me." But as we were talking, then she said that part of the documents she used to secure the visa and the residence permit also included her degree, certificate degree from a university. So I said, "Did you say earlier on that you've not been to a university?" "Oh, yes." "Oh, this one." He said, "We bought it." Yeah. Yeah. This is just a few days ago. A big university. She bought it. She can use it anywhere. Even in Ghana, she can get a job, everything. She has a degree. Yeah. That's not how you enter God's kingdom. You don't buy a certificate to enter God's kingdom. The same way some of us, the university degree we have, we lived a certain way. Yeah, we lived a certain way. Some of us spent 6.5 years hard labor. Some spent 4 years hard labor. Some didn't spend one day there, but they bought. The manner of entering. Now, I'm also informing you that as for the kingdom of God, you can't buy your way into the kingdom. Yeah. You can't bribe Peter. You can't bribe Angel Gabriel. You can't bribe. You can't pay bribe there. What manner? So, how did you enter? How did you enter? So Jesus taught us how to enter in Matthew 7. Can I have the New Living Translation, please? Verse 13, not 14. Yes. How many of you want to know the manner of entering? I don't feel that you are interested in. You want to be in God's kingdom?
Yes.
You want to be there?
I can't buy it.
This girl wants to be in God's. Who else wants to be in God's kingdom? You also want to be in God's kingdom? Then I'm preaching the right message. Now, I thought you were not interested. Because if you want to be inside, you need to know how do you enter. It's called the manner of entering. So how do you enter? It's here. It's here. It said you can enter God's kingdom through one of the many ways, one of which is the narrow gate. Is that what the Bible says? It's a different Bible. So what does Jesus say? He said, you can enter God's kingdom only.
Only.
Only. Only. Through the narrow gate. Say only.
Only. Only.
The highway to hell is broad. And its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. How you are living your life, how I'm living my life, I chose it.
I chose it.
You have chosen to live that way. You've chosen to live the way you are living. Verse 14. But the gateway to life is very narrow. And the road is difficult. It will be hard, we know. And the road will be muddy. Rough, but
we'll get there. Heaven knows how we will get there. We know we will.
The road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. That is why I will suggest to you how to live your Christian life. The way I have lived my Christian life, I have never looked at how my brother is living his life. By the grace of God, I have never followed how people do their things. I've only followed the Holy Spirit in me and the word of God I read with my eyes. Because when we say few, it means that the chances that you are part of it, the chance that you are part of a few, is a very low chance. When the Bible, you see, you will grow up. You will grow up to believe that the word, the Bible is the word of God. And it is true. Yeah. You will go and come. Yeah. When the Bible says a few people, it means that you are likely not a part of it. Like if we say in this place that only a few people in this service have 1 million CDs. Only a few in this service have 1 million CDs. Do you think you are part of it? Do you have 1 million CDs? How many of you on this row have 1 million CDs? And this row? And this row. So when the Bible says a few ever find it, it is important for you to now see that you have got work to do if you want to join the few. Yeah. that if you leave yourself, you are not going to be a part of it. The road is narrow. How many of you want to enter the kingdom of God? The way to enter it is difficult. So anybody who doesn't have a difficult time, or who hasn't had a difficult time entering God's kingdom, hasn't found it yet. Anybody sitting here who is at ease, you've just added church attendance to your demonic life. You've just added church. I mean, there is no pressure on you.
No pressure.
You are relaxed. You are not entering God's kingdom. The people who enter God's kingdom, they are under pressure. Things are difficult for them. That's why I'm sharing with you some of the difficulties. That if you are here and you are not experiencing some of these difficulties, then you are not among the few. It means you are among the people on the Broadway. The Broadway is wide and it's easy. So let's start. Do you have the points? Yeah. I mean, what makes entering God's kingdom difficult? Is it that you enter God's kingdom, you must donate one kidney? No, no. We know it is difficult. But what makes it difficult? What about it? It's difficult. Is it that when you enter God's kingdom, you must donate a kidney? Or you must go and kill your mother before you enter God's kingdom? What then makes it difficult? Number one, it makes it, you see, what makes it difficult is that, number one, you have to break worldly behaviors. And only a few people are ready to break away with worldly behaviors. Most people are very fine being in church, being around, and still practicing their worldly things. It's very okay to be here and still have your married man boyfriend and you are here. It's easy. You get money to give offerings. You get money to buy your striped shirt. You get money to pay tithes. This morning you can take Uber. It's easy. Rather, it is difficult to sit here and break up with the married man who will give you money for Uber. So you have to walk from the junction. There's no money for Okada. I'm showing you why your kidney is not one of the reasons. If entering the kingdom is, a pastor sent me a text message 3 days ago from Rennes. There's a place in France called Rennes. R-E-N-N-E-S. But it's called Rennes. I've not heard from the pastor. I don't even know where he's coming from. He sent a text that he's listening to a message called The Narrow Way on my podcast. And he can't believe the things he's hearing. So he's being blessed from France. Because every Christian must hear this message and decide that you will continue to deceive yourself, or you will do the right thing. I'm saying to you that it is very easy to sit here and continue your worldly habits. You are just sitting here and you are still betting. It's difficult to stop betting. It's so convenient, eh? When I was not born again. This was my girlfriend. It's so convenient to be here, join the ashes or join the choir, and I'm still with my girlfriend. In fact, it's even nicer as I have brought her into the church. So I won a soul. So now the two of us are in the church and we are continuing our unbeliever life. It's so easy. It's so relaxed. I mean, there's no pressure. It's so nice. It's so relaxed. And that is how many of you are choosing to live your Christian life. And we are saying that the narrow way is difficult. And one of them is that it is difficult to break habits. Number two. The difficulty of leaving worldly friends. It's very difficult. To look at the face of this girl, this boy, and say that I can't go to night class with you. I can't come to your house for us to watch pornography. Wednesday evening, I'm going for SU meeting. It's difficult to break up because we have been sinning together. This is my sinning mate. Sinning. This is my girlfriend in the nightclub. This is the guy I buy alcohol from. I mean, it's so easy to be here and you are still connected to your unbeliever friends. Many of you sitting here still have your worldly relationships with you. You have them. It's intact. And that easy life puts you on the Broadway. Number three. The difficulty of denying yourself the pleasures of sin. I mean, I should sit in the church and be drinking sobolo. What nonsense is that? When I am used to Guinness, I'm used to stouts. I'm used to just a little quarter of gin with ice. Why should I leave it? A grown up like me and drink Pepsi and Fanta. Am I a baby? Many of you are sitting here and you have added church to your masturbation. The pleasures you've added church to your boyfriend and your sexual life. You are on the Broadway. I'm not here to change you. I'm here to tell you where you are so that you don't deceive yourself. I'm presenting the facts to you. You should decide what you want to do with your life. It's difficult to deny yourself things that you were doing to fulfill your fleshly desires. I can't watch a movie without hot tantric sex. Every movie I watch must have sex. And now because of Christ, I must watch Chinese movies. Or Cinderella. Snow White. No. So many of you prefer to be here. You are in the church, but you are into sexual pornographies. Hidden folders on your phone. Blocked. How many of you want to enter the kingdom of God? Yeah, I'm sure the way is narrow. Number four, mommy, is the difficulty of learning new Christian habits. We used to hear in the olden days, that it's difficult to teach an old dog new tricks. It's so true. Many of you are 14 years, but you're an old dog. Yeah. I mean, your daughter, who is 19 years, knows more about sexology than you, this grown-up woman moving around. It's just accidental that you got pregnant. It's accidental. But the activities.
Hey!
Oh, yeah. You are a child. Kata kata baba yada baba. I mean, at your age, do you think that you can compare yourself to this girl with eyelashes? She's fair with sunglasses. This girl, this high time girl sitting here. Which you can compare yourself to her. You. I mean, you. Do you think that you and this girl are equals? Yes. So you can sit down and I'm preaching. So she may be young, but she's experienced. Experienced. When we're in SU, we just saying that something on the inside is working on the outside. A lot of things you see outside, they should tell you that something is working on the inside. Some of you girls sitting here with t-shirt and jeans, inside of you, you are worse than even the one who is coming to church like a slave queen with her sunglasses and eyelashes and so on. She may be in grade 2. You may be in upper 6. It's difficult. Can you sit down? Can you sit down? It's difficult for you to come to church and now learn how to pray. It's a Christian habit. How to read your Bible every day and to put yourself through the discipline.
The discipline.
Yes.
New songs.
New songs. Appear decent. That's a decent woman. That's a decent woman. Her dress is laced, but it's a decent woman. And we were here with her when she was dark. And she is still dark today. So you, your Coca-Cola, we don't know where it's coming from. We don't know where it's coming from. To learn as a Christian girl how to present yourself modestly, remove the eyelashes, look decent, and look spiritual. It's not easy. It's very easy to look like a slave queen. If you cannot handle the truth, there's a church down the road. It's called Living Bread Cathedral. The service is called Shine. You can join it there. But here, it is as hot as the temperature in the room. Learn it. It's a Christian habit to keep your hand off this girl. It's a habit. Before I got born again, any girl I find, I put my hands wherever I want to put it. To keep your hand, it's a Christian habit. Some of you boys here are sexually active with girls. You've got girls. And it's so relaxed. It's so nice and easy. It's so nice and easy. You can live an easy life. It's so easy. Easy. It's not difficult at all. Anything that is right is difficult. I'm saying it again. It's very easy to be talking anyhow to your husband. He asked a question, just whatever. to speak respectfully to a man who doesn't deserve respect is difficult. And many of you have landed yourselves in places you wish you were not. Many of you sitting here. He has not even married you. The way you talk to him. We should bring a video to watch you. Manifesting. Then they have a sweet face. When you see the face, it's sweet. Read your Bible. In the Bible, you will find Christian habits. They're Christian habits. Sacrifice. It's a Christian habit. Thinking about him and the effect my behavior is having on him. It's a Christian habit. If you're not a Christian, you think about you. Philippians 2. You live to yourself. We know how unspiritual you are when we see you doing only the things that suit you. It's you. It's you. It's you. But anybody who stops to think about the impact of my actions on this brother. You see, as I'm preaching now, like since I began, there are things I could say. But I think about the impact of the weight of the words. I swallow my words. I'm not just talking anyhow. And I have the microphone. I can say anything I want to say. It's a Christian habit to think of the dress you've worn. A Christian thinks about how all the back here is showing. And the effect, when we stand up, how the effect it has on this boy sitting behind you, on me. As for the dress, we know it's expensive. We know it's £500. But the impact the back here showing has on him, it should occur to you. And how tight your jeans are, and how the buttocks, the panty lines are showing, and your thighs are all. The fact that it is yours doesn't mean that you have to wear. You have to think about if you were alone with your husband at home. I will even advise that you cut it to your panty line and leave all your skin, because we want to have an impact on the man. But you don't bring that dressing into the church. These are Christian habits.
Preach it. Preach. Preach.
Number 5. I'm showing you, if the Bible says it is difficult, it's not difficult because you must remove one eye for your friend who doesn't have an eye. The difficulty of being under authority, and there are verses, I've preached all this before. Being under authority, when we say that entering the kingdom is narrow and difficult, the reason is that you must be under the Hebrews 13:17 authority. People tell you what to do, and it's not easy to be told what to do. It's not easy to be told when to come to church. That is why it's difficult. Because it's very easy to wear blue jeans. And you want that to wear, that's what you. But if I say that next Sunday, everybody must wear a checkered red shirt and with nylon trimmings, and the buttons must be diamond.
It's difficult.
Few Debbie. Feel baby. After church, we are going for outreach. What nonsense is that? Do you know my plans? No, no. Do you know my plans? You just get up and give an instruction. Yes. To be under authority is difficult. It's easy to do what you want to do. It's easy to wear what you want to wear. It's easy for you to say what you want to say. It's so easy. But what, see, under authority means that somebody is above you. You are under. That's what I told you last week. When you're under authority, you can't stand up to your full height. Yeah. This is me. This is me. This is my height. When I'm in the presence of my pastor, I don't stand like this. We are like that. I'm under.
Under pressure.
Bishop said he was eating with his spiritual father and mother in a country. They brought the food. He was just picking and choosing. And the woman took the fork from him, took the food and put it in his mouth and eat it. It's expensive.
You must eat.
Yes. Everybody has his mother.
Yeah.
Come on.
So when you arrange yourself in a way where nobody can tell you what to do, then you are on the Broadway. On the Broadway. On the Broadway. Under authority. Under authority is not only smooching. Under authority is not only hugging. Under authority is not only pegs. Under authority is rebukes and corrections and harsh, harsh rebuttals. Shut up! That's under. I don't know what type of mother raised you. But my mother, what are you talking about? You'll be under. You will be under. That woman, you must be joking. Some of you were raised by... Let me keep quiet. I'm thinking of others. The weight of the words. I'm thinking about you. Under. When you exert yourself, you're on the Broadway. And the Broadway, it leads to destruction. Which takes me to number 6. The difficulty of having no other options apart from the options the Bible gives you.
No other option. Hey. That's difficult.
Narrow means that there's only a way you can walk like this. That's narrow.
Tight.
Even by this time, my thighs are scratched. There's blood. Even my bone is broken. That's narrow. This is broad. Broad means chale. You can't do anything you want to do in the church. The church is a narrow way. At least this church is a narrow way. Maybe if I didn't tell you. Options. Another word for distraction is having options. You can take that one to the bank tomorrow. If you want to destroy yourself, just have options. If you are to write an essay, how to destroy myself, you can write just one single line. Have options. Have other options. You're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. You want to destroy your marriage? Just have options. You want to destroy your relationship? with your spiritual father. Have options. You want to destroy your son. Your son. Have other non-biblical options. You want to be out there, out of the church in a few years' time. Have options. Listen, sometimes just one extra option can lead to your irreversible destruction. For Adam and Eve, it was, they had about 100,000 trees to eat from. There was only one tree they were not supposed to touch. Adding that one tree to the 100,000 trees brought us here. God will always make sure that your options are zero apart from what he wants you to do. I was preaching last night. And I took them to Job. And I showed them. God sent Job. And his only option was Nineveh. He added another town to it called Tarshish. He added another option. When God says Nineveh, he added Nineveh and Tarshish and to choose. And he chose Tarshish. From the day he took that decision, he began to go down and down. He said that he went to get the ship to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa. And he went down to the port. He bought his ticket and went down to the ship. And in the ship, he went down to the bottom of the ship. And when they found him, they threw him down into the sea. When you add one single option to your options, you go down, 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 down. And some of you should be very careful. Come out of that option you are introducing to your life. Come out. When you wake up in the morning, Facebook is not an option. When you wake up, the only option is the Bible, day and night. You introduce something to it, you are about to go down and down and down and down. Number 7. Oh, this is where we ended. Oh, that we've not gone far. Number 7. The difficulty of entering new spiritual relationships. That's all. We've closed. New relationships. Let's read a verse before we stand up. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. New American. New American. I want to advise you. Don't. If you love your life. So the Bible says, he that will love life. So loving life is a way to live your life. If you love your life, don't choose easy things. Don't choose easy things. Easy life. Easy things. This is Paul. You are so non-believer. I'm ending. Ask your neighbor, why are you angry? Are you angry? I'm ending. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples. But they were all afraid of him. Not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him. and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. Barnabas took his hand and the apostles, they were sitting down in their kaftans. He said, this guy, no, dangerous. But Paul knew that he needed to have relationships with them. So a choleric like Paul allowed himself to be carried around by Barnabas because he knew that it takes relationships to live any life. Any life. To be a drunkard, you need relationships. To be a drunkard, I am not aware of any drunkard who is alone. There's no slave queen who is alone. Somebody has to promote you. Somebody has to suggest that rich man for the weekend. Somebody has to suggest that person. And then when you go, you bring the person some 30%. You need relationships in any life, good, bad, and ugly. I'm your pastor. He is even a better pastor. He is with you. But take your pen and paper and just do some arithmetic. You will discover to your shock that your friends are influencing you more than your man of God. Your friends. Your friends. Even in the church, when we close and we step out here, a friend can just rubbish the entire preaching with one sentence. Tell him, make you go. We can't nonsense the man, they talk for that. Just that sentence alone. He has dissolved, boo-booed, damaged. The person you are with is affecting you more than your pastor. So true. Teaching me something. That's why some of you had grade 9. F. I never had a C. I never had a C in any exam I've written. It's A. My failure, I wrote chemistry. I didn't A-level chemistry. I forgot to answer. I didn't read the instruction well. Instead of answering 5 questions, I answered 4. When I stepped out, I realized that I had misread the instruction. I got a B. I got a B. My results are there. I've not finished talking to you. There's no way you can see a C in my document. Why? You may think it's because I'm a cracker. I'm not a cracker. I'm a very average student. Sometimes even below average. But I have never educated myself alone. I've always been in, if it is math. When I was in Form 4, I had to study French. Because I was afraid of geography. And so the combination meant that I had to take French to O level. French was a subject, Form 1, Form 2, Form 3. I didn't like French. Our classroom had 2 doors. When the French teacher enters through one door, I leave through another door. I didn't care that I was failing because I knew that French wasn't part of the subjects I was taking to O-level. I had a distinction, by the way. Anyway, let's continue. But Form 4, because of my dislike for geography, I had to study French. This subject, I was getting 10% and 5% and whatever percent, whatever.
Manger.
What did I do? Form 4, I had only 2 years. There was a guy, he's in Canada now. He came from Ivory Coast. I made him my friend. We're not friends. But I immediately connected myself to him. And I would teach him maths. And he would exchange butter system. Maths and French. I'll write essays, give him, write this, give him, write, correct things. Only finish the O level. That boy had the highest with grade 2. I came after him with a grade 3. The rest were 6, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. There is nothing. I'm saying that to be good, to be a good weed smoker, you need friends. I mean, there's nobody practicing any evil. Is it pornography? Is it sex? Is it whatever? There is always somebody, there's a shadow lurking in the background. That is why when we come to church, you cannot go solo. You can't be solo. Why can't you be solo? Because if you go solo, the three of you come. Can I have 4 guys here?
4 guys.
Yeah, 4. Yeah, that's it. You see, as an unbeliever, these are the guys. This is called, I had other friends. This is called commanding officer.
CO.
Yeah, the area where I lived. He was the area commander, in charge, CO. Yeah. He commandeered all the girls in the area. And he was the one training me. Then in school, mess around. This is mess. Man mess. We call it man mess. This one was a close, we're not too close, but we were there a little. Yes, it was called Satoa.
Hey!
The name's alone.
And I had relationships with these guys.
Quartet.
Say influence.
Influence.
Then suddenly, I got born again. But last week, my son got married. One of them came for the wedding. Yes. We're not enemies. We're not enemies. And we are not friends. We are just there. And the one who came, he's changed. But even that, I'm okay. This is me. And I'm now born again.
Come on.
These people are still influencing me. For me to enter this kingdom, I need people who can pull me properly. Because I'm dealing with the pool here and the pool here. The pool here is my original place, and we call it a centripetal pool. Centri what? Petal. Towards a center. I've lived with these guys for 14 years.
Smoking, drinking, fooling, clubbing, fooling. The influence is strong. It's strong. For me to break free, if I'm interested in entering God's kingdom, which is here, I need another force called the centrifugal. From the Latin word fugere, which means running away from. I have to run away. I've not mentioned Nadia and she was a Lebanese girl. Lebanese. And Sewakoto. And Harriet. I need to escape. And to escape, I don't have enough engines in me. I must borrow engines of people who are already in the kingdom and have developed engines that make them stay. Whatever it will take me. If I'm interested, I want to be here. If I must pay money, if I must weed your house, if I must humble myself, I need to be connected to these four so that their centrifugal force will be stronger than the centripetal force. Peter, towards the center. Anybody sitting here who doesn't have connections that pull you? Psalm 122 and verse 1. I was glad. There are times you don't want to go to church. Is anybody who has woken up with a feeling that honestly, today, dear, honestly, I want to? Flow. Let me just do flow. It's also a church. Once I give the offering, is anybody here who has experienced that? Like when you wake up, even today, okay. On that day, you need Psalm 122. When they said to me, "Let us." Anybody who doesn't have friends who pull you to church. And then to be, you see, one of them is, the first step is friends who pull you centrifugally to church. Then when you enter the church, you also need friends. They can be the same friends who also help to establish you. There are two different things. Coming into the church is different from being established in the church. Because verse 2 is a different verse. It said, verse 2, our feet shall stand within thy gate. To stand within the gates of God's kingdom, you need to be in a group. Our feet, not my feet. So once I come and stand with these guys, our feet are standing in thy gates, O Jerusalem. That's why some of you, I'll be surprised if you are here next week. I'll be surprised. Because there is nobody, you don't belong to a group that will establish you in the church. There is no, even if a bus comes to your area, you don't have any group that will take you onto the bus. Let me tell you something. The Christian life, you need to be in a company. Because it's difficult. Yours is easy. But my Christian life, it's difficult. When the disciples were beaten in the book of Acts, the Bible says that they went to their own company? Where is your, ask your neighbor, where is your company in this church? Ask. Don't just ask, mention names. If you had a company, you would not behave the way you are behaving. Ask her to mention names. Mention three names. Watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it. They were warned. Some of you, when you are warned and you are beaten, that's all because obey company. But these guys being let go, they went to their own company. And watch, watch, watch what happened. And they reported all the threats the chief priests had given them. 24. Let's see their company. Next verse. And when the company, the group of guys, when they heard it, they told them that stop serving God. Because it's a, is there? And when they heard it, they said, stop serving God. He's a useless God. You are wasting your time on these pastors and this lighthouse church. Is that what they told them? When they told them and they heard it, they lifted up their voice with one accord. They were one, one accord. And they prayed. They prayed. What was their prayer? That God, you made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? 26. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. 27. For if a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. 29. And now, Lord. And now, Lord. Even the prayers they were praying were Bible verses. Oh, they were Bible verses. Your friends in the church are betters, slave queens, fornicators. That's the people you are sitting with them. He said, now Lord, behold their threatens. Behold their threatens. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. It was the word they spoke. This problem was that they had healed a man at the gate called Beautiful through a spoken word. Silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Uh-huh. That word is what landed them in that problem. But they said, grant thy servants that with all boldness, kadabababababababa, they may speak thy word. The word which caused us a problem, we are going back to the same attitude. We'll speak that word. We'll preach it. We'll go to church. Look, the currents in the world, if you don't have a company, you will not last. If you don't have church friends, what is happening in your house, your sisters, your brothers, your father, your mother, yourself, you yourself will be your first enemy. What keeps us is these guys. Hallelujah. The one I come and tell them, Charlie, I met a girl, honestly, the way she was doing, before I knew it, I had become soft and she was just rolling her fingers over me. I don't even know how I escaped. Then Prophet Sunday will raise his voice and say, Watakuta Bayaguda. If I don't have them, I'm preaching. I'm stopping. If I don't have them, and the girl almost seduced me, I'll just come to church and sit down. Be magnified. As I'm sitting down, then during the preaching, when Bishop George mentions a lady's name, then I remember the color of the left breast. I said, no. After church, I'm going to the girl again to see it properly. Has the color changed? Has the color changed? If you don't have friends to keep you, and you are sitting here, you are here alone, when there's beer outside, when there are friends outside, when there's betting outside, when there is sin outside, you are sitting here alone. You've just come. You don't have friends. These pastors are not your friends. They can't shout at you. All you have left are these guys. My dear friend, that is why the difficulty you have now is the difficulty of forcing yourself into groups. Forcing yourself into the choir, into ashes, to know this woman, to know this man, to be a friend to this man. You force. Can I come to your house? Can I visit you? Can I text you? Not that you are going to visit her and show her your red polka dot panties. The next time a man comes to chase you, who are you going to talk to? I mean you. Because I remember the last time you had that problem, there was no one to talk to. Who will you talk to if even a church member is chasing you? Who will you discuss it with? I'm asking a question in English.
DT.
You are here, you are alone. I'll be surprised if in 4 years' time you are a normal Christian sitting here. First of all, if you are here, and number two, if you are here and you are a normal Christian, I'll be surprised. The people you are sitting here alone, you should point to this girl. Point to this, that if Brother Jabil is trying to chase me, I'm going to tell this girl I have a relationship with her. That's my help. You don't have anybody, then you are lost. You are lost. Is it not called Jabil?
It's a good message.
Yes! You are in the church, you have nobody, you are just here standing here. Look at you. If a boy is chasing you, who will you talk to in this church? Who?
LP Zara.
LP Zara.
LP Cecilia.
LP Cecilia, you are sure? Then Ogbena. Ogbena. I'm not talking about the unbeliever in that house. I'm saying that as we are here, a brother, even this boy can even come and chase you. This boy standing here can. As he's coming, what will you do? All of us get weak once in a while. That's why we need a connection of strong-bodied, able-bodied believers. That when we are threatened by a girl, these guys were threatened by chief priests. But in our time, there are no chief priests to threaten us. Some of us, it's money. Some of us, it's a financial issue. Some of us, it's a feeling. Some of us, it's a girl. Some of us, it's a married woman. Sometimes it's a married man. When life threatens us, where do you go? When life threatens you, mistakenly, you just smoked a little of the weed. You don't know how it happened. Just you have never smoked it before. And you may never smoke it again. But just out of curiosity, you just smoked a little. So, what nonsense is this? You should still have a group that you can go and tell. I went to this place where there, and a guy was smoking. I said, let me just try. And I just tried. Everybody must have his own company. If you don't have your own company, your ministry ends at Act 4. And you never move to 5 and 6 and 7. We are around today. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I'm around here today because of the company. Sometimes it's a company of books. Sometimes it's a company of messages. Some of the pastors are dead. But you can't be alone. You cannot be here. And Satan will never allow you. Let me tell you, in case I forgot, in case I forget because I'm ending. The only relationships the devil will allow you to have in the church is relationships with carnal, sexy Christians.
Carnal, sexy.
When I say carnal, I shouldn't have even added sexy. Carnal Christian. Look, there are some here. Every row has got one or two. Every row, even this row has one or two. This row has one or two. This row has one or two. Every row has one or two. So before you know it, you are in church. Before you know it, you are in church. And you are with friends. But you might as well have had unbeliever friends. Because these friends are taking you nowhere, have no plans to take you anywhere. They themselves are lost. And when the blind leads the blind, both of them fall into a ditch. That is why the difficulty is the difficulty of entering relationships. Some of them you pay with time, with your time. Some of them with humility. Some of them with persistence. Listen to me. The relationships that will take you to heaven in the church, they will not be easy relationships. Sometimes, as you are even getting near, they don't want you. They don't want you to be near. Tale, I'm doing something. But you press by texting, by calling, by humbling. You force and use other indirect ways to be in the person's life. Elijah told Elisha, sit here, I'm going to Bethel. Sit here, I'm going to Gilgal. Sit here, I'm going to Jordan. He said, never, I'm going with you. If you are not strong, you'll be in the church and you'll be either alone or with unbeliever people. They are not everybody here is a serious Christian. Merely having friends who are in first works doesn't mean much. What is their spiritual weight? How spiritual are they? I'm praying for you today that God will give you what it takes. Yeah, what it takes. That's why we try to form Basente. Now we are going to form Santa fellowships. Fellowships in the areas, not based on just people we are in the area, but groups in the church who repeat themselves also in the area. Yes. Yes. We force to join those who are caring for new converts. We force to join those who are playing instruments. We force to join the choir. We force to join dancing stars. And in the dancing stars, we remove ourselves. You see, I'll tell you something before I end. Teacher. You need to be spiritual. To have spiritual friends. I'll take it again. You cannot get spiritual friends with unspirituality. To know the right people, you yourself must be spiritual to know. Anybody sitting here who is not spiritual is likely to fall into the company of the unspiritual members of the church. I must have something in me to know which of the two of you is correct. I must have a way, a spirit in me. So you may think that she is spiritual. So if I get her, then she will affect me with her spirituality. What you don't know is that to get her, I myself must be spiritual to connect. So no matter what you do, you will never run away from your responsibility to be a spiritual person. If you are not spiritual, you are landing with unbelievers in the church. There are fornicators here. There are masturbators, unbelievers. There are people here who don't listen to gospel music, who listen to unbeliever music. They are all here. Based on who you are, you will attract your kind. So the Bible says in Amos 3 and verse 3, can any two walk together I can listen. The people who are spiritual here, they will never walk with you. An unspiritual person. Read my lips. Read my dry lips. The people who are spiritual, they will never, no spiritual person has time to walk with. Is there? To walk with somebody, you must be agreed. There must be agreement. So to find a spiritual person, you must have spirituality that matches a person's spirituality. So that's why I'm saying that nothing will free you from your responsibility to be spiritual. You're not spiritual. You are going to land with the people who are not spiritual, don't want to be shepherds, who just leave church. They are not, they are playing. Every church's car park, they are there. They are at the car parks. That's where they are. At the back of the service and the car park. You can never be my friend if you are not a spiritual person. We will just say, oh, hi. Oh, you're at me. I was, oh, hi, your hair. What did you make? Oh, your glasses. This is what, which airport? Oh, really? This fan. We'll only talk about shoe and fan and hair. To sit with you, Ebe. Jeremiah. He's the one I'll go to Jeremiah with. He's the one I'll go to Jeremiah with. To be spiritual and have Bishop George as your friend, you can't just get up with your carnality and hook up with him. No. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. The people who became the apostles' friends, they are giving themselves to God first. You can't give yourself to the devil and expect that you become a friend of Paul. Do you know what it means to be a friend of Paul? You don't read your Bible, you want to be my friend. You are into politics. We can't talk. Once I sit with you and realize that your things are politics, it's the end. I want people, I can say that, Charlie, I want to form Santa Basenta. I don't even know how to start it and which meetings you have. And he's, oh, to have the, let's meet the choirs first and find out where they stay. Ah, I've got you. With one accord, they walked. And they talked. If you are sitting here and you don't want to pay the price to be spiritual yourself, there's no bishop here whose spirituality will extend to you to strengthen you to be spiritual. To have him, to have her as your friend, you have to be something that matches. Otherwise, you will only have people that your own spirituality matches. As you are sleeping with a boy, she's also sleeping with another man's husband, and then you are friends. Then this one is with the chorister who stands at the back. So you ornithological specimen of identical plumage culminate invariably in their own proximity. Birds of the same feather flock together. Right to your feet and let's close. Birds of the same feather, ornithological specimen of identical plumage, culminate invariably. They gather invariably in their own proximity. You see them together. Homosexuals in this church, they are together. You will never find a lesbian in this. She will be among a group of lesbians. She's not among them. She will be among people who are praying in the night. Her friends are the people who pray in the night. Can you lift your hands and ask the Lord to have mercy on you? Have mercy on me. You can't bring your own spirituality and hook up with a spiritual person. Lift your hands and ask the Lord to help you to be spiritual. Lord, help me to be spiritual. To be spiritual. To be spiritual. To build new relationships with my spirituality. You don't just get up and make yourself friends. No. To walk with somebody, you must agree. You must have one mind about every matter. Otherwise, friendship is just, oh, your shoe is nice. Hey, your dress. Hey, what color? Hey, orange, a pink. Oh, really? And the zip is not. Yeah, hey, oh, I like the shoe. Always his hairstyle and never any verse. Because you are not a correct girl. Lift your hands. And pray for yourself. Mayakata Bosha. Kreke, kreke, kreke. Krakoda. And ladies and gentlemen, as your hands are down, and your head is bowed, the first step you must take to be spiritual is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. In this service today, you can take that decision. You see, it's the beginning of your journey. That's how it starts. And as we are here right now, you can say, Pastor, today I'm taking that decision to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Pastor, please pray for me. I want to be born again. If you are here like that, I want you to lift up your right hand right now. Yes, it's your day. It's your day. Lift your hand. It's your day. Pastor, lift your hand high, 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 high. Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to know Jesus. I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Lift your hand high. I see your hand. I see your hand. Lift it high. I see your hand. Father, we thank you. If your hand is up, I want you to come to me here now. Come. 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 It's your day. You want to join them? You can come now. You can join them now. No, turn towards me. Yes. You can join them now. You can join them now. Father, we thank you. Lift your two hands, everybody. And let's pray. Father, we thank you today.
Oh, yes, Lord.
We are grateful to you for the opportunity.
We're grateful, Lord.
To come to you.
To come.
You've drawn us to you.
You've drawn us.
Wash us.
Wash us, Lord.
Wash us. Cleanse
us. Cleanse us.
Give us a new start.
Give us a new
Say start. This prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Today.
Today.
I humble myself.
I humble myself.
I surrender myself to you.
I surrender myself to you.
Please receive me.
Please receive me.
Make me your child.
Make me your child.
Wash my sins.
Wash my sins.
I'm starting today. A journey with you.
A journey with you.
Help me.
Help me.
To have friends.
To have friends.
To have relationships.
To have relationships.
To have people.
To have people.
Who help me.
Who help me.
On this journey.
On this journey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
From today,
I am
your child.
Your child.
I am born again.
Born again.
I am starting this new life. Thank you for your help.
Thank you for your love.
Thank you for your mercy.
Thank you for your mercy.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenere Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.